Chapter 8. Can't anyone help you? The boys got a good telling off. The clattering and shrieking had woken the whole house. They had to own up to teasing Sir Simon, and Mr. Otis sent them to their room for 3 whole days as punishment. Poor Mrs. Umney was so shaken she locked herself in her room and wouldn't come out. "My nerves can't take it," she said. For the next few days there was no sign of the Canterville ghost. "He's gone," said Washington. "He's run away, and good riddance." "I do believe you're right," said his father. "I shall write to Lord Canterville at once and tell him." But Virginia was not so sure. Perhaps the poor chap was hiding somewhere, shivering with cold. He probably hadn't even got a towel to dry himself off. On the other hand, she was hoping he would keep out of the way for a few more days. Things were changing. Now that her mother believed that they had a spook-free house, she decided to hold a big party. Everyone had been invited, including the young Duke of Cheshire, who was going to stay overnight. He had become a good friend. The last thing Virginia wanted was for him to be woken in the night by some clammy spook looming all over him. She'd never see him again. To her relief, the week passed by with no hauntings at all, not a squeak. The library was even free of the stain. All seemed well. The day after the party, the Duke and Virginia went out riding. He was a brilliant horseman, and she found herself thinking what a wonderful thing it was to be such friends. Then, when jumping through a hedge, she ripped her riding breeches badly. She made an excuse and galloped home. She wanted to change into another pair and get back to the Duke as soon as possible. To save time, she used the back staircase. As she ran past the old tapestry chamber, she thought she heard someone. She peeped inside. She couldn't believe what she was seeing. There was Sir Simon, sitting by the window, his head resting on his hand and his grey hair looped around his pale face. He looked sad and depressed, and he clearly had no idea she was there. She wanted to run, but he looked so lonely, so deeply sad, that she found herself speaking. "It's you," she said, taking care that she could make a run for it if she had to. "I'm sorry you're sad, but my brothers are going back to school tomorrow, so if you behave yourself, no one will bother you any more." He turned. His voice was low and quivery. "It's no use asking me to behave myself. Quite ridiculous. I must rattle my chains. I must groan and flit about at night. I have no choice. It's the only reason I have for being here at all." Virginia could hardly believe she was talking to a ghost. But no, there he was. "It's not a reason for being here," she said gently. "You have been very wicked. Mrs. Umley told us of your cruel deed to your poor wife." "Well, yes," he replied, stroking his wispy beard. "But that was a long time ago, hundreds of years." "It's a terrible thing to kill anyone," she said, "at any time." "Well, you didn't know her," he hissed. "She was awful. She was always making me look a complete fool. She made me a doublet that came down to my knees. She cooked the most horrible meals. I do believe she was trying to poison me. Anyway, I didn't mean to kill her. It was an accident." "Hmm," said Virginia severely. "I don't believe you." Sir Simon looked shifty. "She slipped on a fish head and fell on my sword. But her brothers shouldn't have locked me up either. I starved to death." "Oh, poor ghost. Are you hungry?" cried Virginia. "I can fetch you a sandwich from the kitchen." "No, thank you," he replied. "Ghosts don't eat. But it's kind of you to ask. You are much nicer than the rest of your horrible, rude and dishonest family." "Stop! It is you who are dishonest. You stole from my paint box to make that stain in the library. I recognized the colours. I ran out of the green, and I couldn't finish my painting. Whoever heard of green blood, anyway? Sir Simon stared at the floor, looking sheepish. What was I to do? He grumbled. It's difficult to get real blood these days. Anyway, it was your brother's fault with his stupid pots clean away. I don't see why I shouldn't use your paints. That's it, said Virginia. Goodbye. I'm going to ask Dad to get the twins another week's holiday. You're impossible. You should at least say sorry. Don't go, he said. Please, if only you knew. I'm so lonely and unhappy. I am really sorry for everything I did. I didn't mean to kill my wife. I really didn't. And I'm sorry about the paints and the other things, he added. All I want to do now is go to sleep. And I cannot. I haven't slept for 300 years. I'm so very tired. He began to wail. Don't get upset, said Virginia, daring to go a little closer. Is there no place you can sleep? Far away beyond the woods, he said, looking wistfully out of the window. There is a little garden. The grass is long and deep and scattered with lovely little white flowers, like stars. A nightingale sings all night long, while the yew tree spreads its arms over the sleepers. Tears came into Virginia's eyes. You mean the graveyard? She said. Yes, replied the ghost. It must be so wonderful to lie in the soft brown earth. So comfortable. Not to have to flit around being the Canterville ghost forever, forced to screech and cackle and rattle my chains. Never able to sleep, never even to have one friend. By this time, tears were pouring down Virginia's face. What a long, lonely 300 years. Can't anyone help you? She said. You know something, he said. You could help. Virginia felt suddenly scared. You can help me because you are good and kind. Good is stronger than evil. That is one thing I know. She shuddered. She felt as if she was in some awful dream. You know what is written on the library window? It's the Canterville Prophecy. Yes, we've all read it. I know it by heart. Virginia spoke the funny old words. When a kind and true young heart can tell the good from the evil part, when that same heart sheds a tear and the dead tree fruit does bear, then all in this house shall be still and peace shall come to Canterville. What does that mean? It means that if a kind young person sheds a tear for me, because I can't cry myself, and is good where I am most definitely not good, there is hope for me. They will be merciful. Virginia had a funny feeling, really weird. It felt as if she had a chance to do something very important, but she didn't like the sound of this they, whoever they were. You see, you have already done part of it. You cried for me because you were sorry that I can't save myself, said the Canterville ghost. But now you must ask for mercy for poor old Canterville. It won't be easy. You will see horrible shapes in the darkness. Wicked voices will whisper in your ear. But nothing will harm you. Trust me, nothing can harm you. I will do it, Virginia said quickly before she could have time to change her mind. The words just came out. I will ask them for mercy for you. Sir Simon jumped up with joy. Bending down on one knee, he kissed her hand. Thank you. Then the wall slowly faded away like mist. A big black cavern opened up in front of Virginia. Bitter cold, like the iciest winter wind, swept around the room. Bravely, she set out to plead for forgiveness for Sir Simon.